Yep, ghetto boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface is in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys.
Reloaded.
You're tuned in to Ghetto Boys Reloaded. Now, why do we call it Reloaded?
Damn.
Well, for the four or five people on the planet that don't know the Ghetto Boys, we started our career off in the music industry, specifically hip-hop. And the foundation of our message has always been to inform and to what? Educate and what?
Shit, you got it.
Instruct. You see? Inform, educate, and instruct. Inform people about what's going on in the world.
Educate
them about what's going on in the world and instruct them on how to navigate through all of that stuff, right?
That's nice.
So this is how we come to Ghetto Boys Reloaded, right?
I love it.
And so we're reloading. We're taking that same information and we have bottled it up and putting it out into the podcast world. Scarface came to me and he said, well, he didn't come to me. He called me.
Oh, that's... Okay, go ahead.
He called me. Okay, he called me and he was like, say, Will, you want to do this Ghetto Boys podcast? And I was like,
hell no, no.
I said, hell yeah. Stop lying, man. God damn. So I said, hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it. So he gets what? He makes a phone call, gets Charlamagne on the phone. Charlamagne say, hell yeah, we want to do that. Let's do it. So here we are, fam. Ghetto Boys Reloaded. And this is the first episode of Ghetto Boys Reloaded. And listen, fam. There is absolutely no other person on this planet that would have been qualified to do this first episode, or more qualified to do this first episode, than the man to my left and the man that you know as Jay Prince. We go back to Lil Jay. You dig what I'm saying? This is the guy that I know. This is the guy that I have a lot of respect for. And I think that the culture, period, owes him a debt of gratitude, no matter what you may think of him.
Yeah.
I think the culture owes him a debt of gratitude because he paid the price. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say, hey, you know, I got an idea. I got a vision. It's a whole nother thing when somebody say, not only do I have an idea, I got a vision, I'm putting up my paper to do it. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's what he did. Ladies and gentlemen, in the building, like, I don't even know how to say this, man, so I'm just going to just say his name. Jay Prince in the building. You know what I'm saying? Jay
bro,
Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Prince. Yeah.
Live and in living color. How y'all doing, bro?
Oh, man. Beautiful. Beautiful. Perhaps not as beautiful as you've been doing lately, man. I mean, you're making some noise.
Well, you know, I'm trying to keep it moving, man. You know, as we know, you know what I mean? It's the movement over the moment.
Yeah.
So, I've been blessed to stay moving.
Man, you've been blessed with a vision, man. And I always talk about that vision, man. Like, how did you see this shit, bro? Like, how did you see me and Willie and Bill and Red? And how did you, you know, what happened, man? How did you visualize us going out to the ranch? We didn't even know each other. We didn't even know each other.
You remember that first ride? That first ride?
I think I do.
Tell me what happened.
I don't know. It's been so many.
In the Astro van. I'm talking about the Astro van.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Yeah. We got a story before that one, though.
What's the story before that?
So, James had pulled up to our apartment, right?
Okay.
And we're like, man, who is that? Bruh, as a white Benz, white 500 Benz, two though. Convertible with a black top. Like, man, this is our house, man. Knocked on the door, man. Jay walked in, man, and that, like, we kids. Like, me and Beto, we kids. We ain't never seen so many diamonds in our life. The boy, he walked in that motherfucker like Nigarachi, bro. He was out of there. And I was like, man, how did you find us? How did you find me, man?
Well, you know, it's a small world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is, because you popped up at my door.
Yeah, I just know people. Damn. That know people, that know people.
That man pulled up at my house, Willie.
And then he pulls up at my house. But before that, he came to me and said, Will, I got this idea. I want you to be a ghetto boy. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to be in no group.
That's what he told me. And I was
like,
nah,
I don't
want to
be in no group. And
hell no.
And he was like, yeah, man, I got this dude on the South Side at the time. He was calling Action. He was known as Action.
We
he was
knew
like
it ain't gonna work.
DJ Action,
it
you know. And I want to put y'all, you know, I want you and him and this other boy to be in the group, right? Boom, boom. So I'm like, nah, I don't want to be in a group. And he was like, do it for me. That's simple, you know what I'm saying?
Mind you, the man is 22 years old.
Well, yeah, he was only a couple of years younger. He was only a couple of years older than me. But when he said, look, he said, do it for me, right? And I'm thinking like, this dude, out of all the people in the world, this is the dude that's saying, you know what? I see your talent and I want to invest in it. So I could not say no to that when he put it like that. You've always had a way with words.
Man.
Was that a lot of people listen to you and they respect, you know, how you vocalize things, you know, and they respect your mind. Growing up, you know, like, who influenced you? Who was that person that you looked at and said, man, you know, I like how he moved. You know, I want to pick up some of those things.
Yeah. I would have to say it began with my mother. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It began with my mother. I always tell everybody that was my hero.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I watched her. I watched her struggles. You know what I mean? I watched her movements and, I was influenced by him. And then it was my grandmother.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The same thing, you know, the work ethic, the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, like inspired me as a young boy. And I vowed at the age of like 7 or 8 years old that I wanted to be the one to break the poverty curse that existed in my family, because, you know, every month people was crying and different things over lights getting cut off, or we didn't have food to eat, you know, different things like that. So, yeah, my eyes laid on my mother and grandmother first. And from there, you know, I was willing to risk my life for that, mm-hmm. for them to be able to have what they wanted.
You know, and that's admirable. Like, you grew up in a single parent household, right? And so I picked up some ways from my mom in terms of some survival tactics that I was able to use to my benefit, right? Now, these are females, right? And so when one think like a Jay Prince, they don't think nothing feminine about a Jay Prince, right? A lot of guys who are raised in single parent households or single mothers, raised by single mothers, sometimes they don't quite get that the manhood type thing. They don't come, you know, they kind of like, you know, get a lot of those similarities from their mother, you know, and they pick up a lot of those female ways. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that I got my ways, you know, I got my ways that I picked up from my mom. I picked up conflict resolution for me from that I picked up from my mom was...
Willie, you don't have conflict resolution, dude, but go ahead.
Conflict resolution
you
means...
You don't have that, but go ahead.
Listen, first of all, conflict resolution is simply to resolve conflict.
You don't have that, but go ahead.
Do you know you can resolve conflict all kind of ways, right?
Willie, go ahead, bro.
Give me my credit for resolving it the way I resolved it back in the day.
You got that.
Back in the day.
Willie.
I ain't saying right where
you
we are
win.
Right now. I'm saying back then.
You win, you won.
All right,
you
okay.
It. You got conflict resolution from your mom. It's cool.
So but I learned to settle conflict with fist, guns, and insults.
Okay.
Okay?
I ain't gave you that.
That's the Willie D I know. That's go ahead.
I learned this. That's what I got from my mom, right? Mm-hmm. So going from that, I got that, but then there's other things that, you know, people would tell you all the time that it takes a man to raise a man. So that respect thing, that, you know, that, you know, standing for something thing, that fighting the biggest fights, the biggest battles, the biggest gangsters, whoever bringing it, you know, if you, like you said in the song, the first album that we put out, if you want to go to war, I take you to war. Mm-hmm. That right there.
Yeah.
How do you convey that to youngsters out there who may be being raised by mothers? And it's not to take away anything from single mothers,
yeah,
but there is a shortage of courage when it comes to men, young men out there, in my opinion. I think there's a shortage of courage and a shortage of ethics, a shortage of a street code, a shortage of respect I don't think a person can just get without having some type of male influence, whether that person be in front of you, in the household with you, or somebody you're watching on television or whatever. That's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree that a man role is important, you know, but, you know, I'm definitely a recipe of a household where the man was missing. And so many of us, I don't even want to call it a victim, but so many of us come from households where boys don't raise their kids. You know what I mean? Because we can't even call them a man if they abandon their kids and their loved ones. So you know, you have to qualify to be called a man. So boys, you know, may disappear or whatnot. And then what end up happening and what happened to me where outside of a woman embracing me was the hood. You know what I mean? Fifth Ward was homies on the blocks, was, you know, stepfathers. You know what I mean? I had males in my life in a combination of ways that helped shape and mold me to become, you know, who I became.
All right.
You know
yeah. what I mean? Okay.
And that's why, like, with the hood, I'm so, like, adamant about those that abandon the hood. You know what I mean? Once you make it, when you know this place helped shape and mold you to become who you became.
Man, you know, I spent a lot of time with your dad, bro.
Yeah.
And I would have put all of that, I would have put all of what you are on him.
Yeah.
Because after hanging out with Ernest so much and so long,
yeah,
you know, it's all, that's you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You may not have known Ernest or may not have been with Ernest early part of your life.
Yeah.
But, man, you are Ernest Prince to the T. Like, well, the whole thing. And the brothers.
Yeah, you can't get away from those genetics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those genetics of who you are, whether you know. Like, I didn't know my biological.
Well, he was a gangster. Dad,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Ernest Prince was a gangster.
They started calling me Lil Prince before I knew who I was.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So I missed that side of it, but it was real fruitful to be able to tap into him after I got grown.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it was a missing link.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was a void that no other male could fill. So that's how important it is for a man, for a father, to be involved with his son. No, nobody can fill those shoes.
You know, the trip part about that, mentioning Ernest, is that from a distance, no one could ever tell that he wasn't there all the time, because y'all were like so much alike. It's like, you know, especially like you say, you can't get away from those Prince genetics.
Yeah.
You know, like if somebody looked at you too and be like, oh, that's
just
his
start
son.
Laughing.
Oh, absolutely, that's his son.
Yeah.
But you know, there was other things about you that you definitely did different from your dad, right?
Yeah.
You know, you took things to a different level and you made sure that, you know, you didn't make certain mistakes, right?
Yeah.
That he made.
Yeah.
And so when you think about the route that you took, how much of that route was happenstance and how much of it was purpose driven?
If I had to chop that up, Most of it definitely was purpose driven.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know what I mean. I'm wired and kind of programmed where I follow my spirit, my intuition, my discernment. You know, over freestyling, over just you know luck or stuff like that. And it always been that way, you know, with me. And the more I tune into my gifts. You know what I mean? My spirit-led situations or my intuition, my discernment, the more I think my decisions became more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely more purpose-driven over that other piece.
Yeah, you, I've been noticing like over the last perhaps, I would say 2-3 years, you seem more at peace.
Yeah.
You know, you smile and laugh a lot in public. You know, like a lot of people don't know that, you know, you're a funny guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, funny how, you know, remind me of you remember the good fella? Yeah. Funny how.
He's not really all that funny. He just like to crack up.
Nah. He's funny too. You know what I'm saying? You know, but he got a good, basically,
you know what he is.
He got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
He got a good sense of humor. And you like to laugh, right?
Yeah, love
now,
that.
But a lot of people wouldn't know that about you. But lately, it's like, and it seemed like in the past you may have been guarded for that for whatever reasons, you know what I'm saying. But lately, last 2-3 years, you know, I've seen you many times, and I was like, man, Jay having a blast.
He's happy, yeah, man.
You know,
yeah.
I mean that you can see it. You know.
You know what it is. That little bitty house on Della, he moved out of there and bought an island. You know, that kind of shit will change your life, Willie.
Right. Now, do you,
for
have,
real?
Do you have one island or two islands, man? Because I saw you said Prince Island 1, right?
Yeah, Prince Island 2. Yeah, a couple of islands.
You got a couple of islands.
Yeah, a couple of islands.
That's what have a man smiling like that. You bought okay. 2 islands.
Okay.
well, it's deeper than that. You know, it's deeper than the material things. You know, I got a joy, and you know it's a time and a place for everything, right?
Gotcha.
You know, and I always tell everybody I'm at like the beginning of the third quarter where my life is concerned. You know what I mean? I played first quarter, second quarter. Now halftime is over. I'm at the beginning of the third. A lot of people believe they at the beginning of the fourth. At my age,
come on.
But I'm just at the beginning of the third.
Huh.
So I figured out. How to have fun, how to enjoy my life, how to do everything, you know, with moderation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And how to weed out stress. You know what I mean? It's a combination of things that one can do to have a fruitful, fulfilling life. And I figured it out. It make me laugh a little more now because, shit, I ain't dealing with, you know what I mean? The things that I had to deal with in the past. I graduated.
I got to sit down with you again and get that. You know, when I was a kid, right, Jay would come pick me up, man. I'd be like, man, damn. Because I knew that we was going to ride for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So when I got to a point where I could buy my own car, I would just ride behind him.
Right. And smart
we,
man.
Yeah. So we go out to the ranch, man, and not knowing that the jewels that he was like he was a kid dropping jewels on a kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like those jewels, man, that he gave me, you know, hanging is life. It's life jewels, bro, that you can take with you and you can use in any situation or any circumstance, man.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, man, I tell you this all. Man, I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah,
because I know for a fact.
Yeah.
Coming out of that little house in South Vegas where I grew up and the shit that I was doing, remember when you say, hey, man, you can do what you got to do one or the other.
Yeah.
You can't rap and sell this shit. So, you know, you want to sell it, I'm gone. You can't, I don't want to be nowhere around it, right?
Yeah.
I learned that, bro. You gave me that. And, man, I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah.
You pulled me out that little bitty ass house, man. I'm living my life, bro.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, man.
No, no.
Like, you
know,
dead ass.
The difference, you know, a lot of times, and it's important for all the youth and everybody that's watching this right now, like, I understood way back then that the feds and the people that was in high places was trying to stop our movement. Huh. So I understood that we could have had 99% of everything legal and 1% illegal, and they'll take that 1% and destroy our 99% that we was building up mm-hmm. on. So that's why I made statements like that. You can't straddle the fence. You know, I told all the homies, you can't come in my business with 1 foot here, the other feet in the drug game or whatever that is, because, you know, this is a movement we got going. This ain't about no moment. So, you know, my mindset was there back then, and it's important for those who really trying to build an empire to understand those principles. Because if not, that's why people, empires and visions get destroyed by, you know, outside forces and outside individuals that really don't play no major role, but doing some dumb shit, bringing it back to their movie.
You know, you was always super smart, man. You was always super smart and 3 or 4 steps ahead. And that type of thinking, man, and you put that on me and Willie, too. You know what I mean? We way ahead of everybody else, man. That's like, what brought that?
Well, y'all had sense enough and had the smarts to show up and to, you know what I mean, exercise that very thing that you wanted to become. Think about those that didn't, beginning with my own brother. You know what I mean? I say that because my own brother didn't have the strength to show up and follow the movement. And I started it for him. You know what I mean? So y'all had that. Y'all had the work ethic. True enough, you know what I mean? I come blow the horn and pick y'all up. But I ain't made you walk outside.
Nah,
you know what I mean? I ain't made you write those dope rhymes and use that creativity y'all was using. So, you know, y'all done that. You know what I mean? And all of that helped our movement. You know what I mean? Wasn't no I and we. You know, I had strengths. Y'all had strengths. We brought them all together. And bam, you know what I mean? The Ghetto Boys came to fruition. The very thing that laid the whole foundation for those that's born don't have no idea, you know, what they standing on or who built it.
Dang.
You know what I mean? But all that came from from our mind, from our movement way back. You know what I mean? And look how relevant it is today. And look at what's happening today.
Listen to that music, you know
what I mean?
Man.
Yeah.
Listen to that music from way back then and apply it to right now. Timeless, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, and you know what? And it started with Do It Like a G.O. Yeah.
It started with us three in a room.
No,
really?
Well, no. I'm just saying as far as the first song.
Like, okay.
The first ghetto.
I wasn't there.
No, but I'm saying it was the first Ghetto Boy song that all of us, me, you, and Bill was on.
Okay.
And Red was on, right? Do It Like a G.O.
Right.
But me and Jay was at his house. That Jay had a list of songs. Like this, man. Like a list of like a damn tablet or something, a bunch of different song concepts. And Do It Like a G.O. was one of them. And he's the one first told me, like, well, what, you know, we're going to do it like a G.O. That means like anything in life, we're just going to do it like it go. You know, whatever it is. That just means do it to the highest level, right? And with purpose. And so when we start talking about the song, it's like, man, we're going to talk about just all the different elements of doing it like a G.O., social, political elements of doing it like a G.O. So we're talking about, you know, we're going to talk about this educational system. We're going to talk about this governmental system. We're going to talk about corruptions and dirty bankers and all of this stuff that happens in our community that are controlled by the oligarchy, right? You know, the higher ups, you know, the people that basically run it.
Yeah. We're gonna oligarchy.
Talk, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're gonna talk about that and put them on blast. And from that moment on, it was like, I just feel like that song was like kind of like set the standard for what we would do, the unapologetic movement that we had going forward.
Yeah.
And that's to your credit, man. And you know, a lot of people will say that, you know, Ghetto Boys, you know, of course, me and Brad, you know, we are responsible for the majority of writing of everything. But it was those seeds that you planted early on.
Yeah, man, you had some monster-ass ideas, yeah, bro.
It was that, you know, and being in that studio. And I remember, and here's another thing, like you were saying, like earlier, like you didn't make us do it, right? You were like...
That's not true. Wait, hold up. He did make us do it because you know what he would do? He would drive us way out into the middle of no fucking where and leave us for weeks.
Well, we still didn't have to do it. Could have walked off like Jukebox.
And go where?
Go home.
How?
How did Jukebox get home?
He was dropped off. No, the beauty of that was, man, I mean, once again, it wasn't no I and we because it was tried before y'all came. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People like Jukebox and the other people couldn't even embrace it. It was too heavy for them to even embrace. You know what I mean? Or do it like a Geo or a different concept. They told me I was too deep.
Huh?
This is what they said to me. Man, that's too deep, man. People ain't going to be able to understand that. But when I'm talking to Willie D, when I'm talking to you, you know what I mean? I was talking to people that understood English, mm-hmm, and was able to embrace it and execute it. So, you know... We done that.
And, you know, and I think it's important to mention this, too, for all these youngsters out here that's trying to get on, that if you have mentors, you got people that's invested in you, it's their money. Like, either you're going to ride with their vision or you're not. You know, it's like if I wrote something and it didn't come out like you wanted it to come out, it was whack, whatever, in your opinion, you would say, man, I don't like that now. And you know what I would do?
That's not strong enough.
At the most, I might say, well, what you don't like about it? All right, okay, cool. Man, well, you know, all right, go back to the drawing board, boom, boom, bam, got it, just like that.
Yeah.
A lot of these cats today, you know, you tell them, you know, you try to give them some constructive criticism and all of a sudden, you know, you running on their parade, you know, like you against them. And so they get defeated when you ask when somebody try to give them constructive criticism, and so therefore they never even get to a point to where the world can witness their talents.
Let me ask you a question. The house that you built, we're gonna call this state the house that James built. How do you feel about the rap scene right now?
The rap scene right now. I'm not mad at it, you know what I mean? I salute the youngsters for, you know, building what they're building with the best of, you know, what they have.
To work with?
Okay. Yeah, to work with, you know what I mean? And I think I even take responsibility for that to a certain extent. Yeah.
Why?
Because I think we all should, because they studied us.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? We came before them, you know what I mean? We actually are influential on a lot of what's taking place right now. So we have to own that. You know what I mean? We have to own that whether we want to or not. Mm-hmm. You know, the realization of it is, you know, it's true. You know what I mean? Probably not the style of which they are rapping and different things like that, but it's a lot of substance for what I know I've done and for what I've witnessed, you know, where music is concerned. That's influential.
I think the content, like you say, needs to be a little stronger.
Well, you know, they thought that about Motown. You know, every generation have their opinion about, you know, the generation that come after them. So that's legal to feel that way. But by the same token, their generation is in love with what they're doing.
It is, man.
you know what I mean?
And I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, they
but it still could be a little stronger. What you think, Will?
Yeah, I think. I personally prefer songs with messages. I like lyrics. I like somebody that's saying some substance, right? Having said that, you know, like my thing is like to inform. Like I love the artists that inform people, but sometimes it gets lost in translation if there's no instructions behind the information.
And we had instructions.
Right?
We had
instructions. And so and that's the thing that I can say that we did well was that we always instructed. We didn't just talk about the struggle music. We gave you a blueprint on how to get through the struggle. We didn't just talk about the struggle. And that's, to me, is very, very important when it comes to artistry. You dig?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. But I think, you know, even back then, it was those that wasn't doing what we were doing. You know what I mean? We were a special.
Yeah, it was. It was a beautiful combination.
So,
man.
You know, I think it exists today. I think, you know, in defense, whether youth are concerned, I think it's some that still have different messages that they're trying to give. They may not be as popular because I don't think the message is as popular today as it was back.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Tell me about Rick Rubin, man. Let's talk about Rick Rubin. That was like really in the beginning too.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick Rubin.
Not to cut you off, but I heard.
You gonna say? Tell me about Rick Rubin.
I heard Rick Rubin ain't like me, dog. In the beginning, yo, go ahead now.
I never heard Rick Rubin not liking you. I think Rick Rubin enjoyed the Ghetto Boys period as a whole. You know what I mean?
He liked Bill better than he liked you, bro. And Will and me. Henry, he liked Bill the best.
Well, once again, Face, I had never, you know what I mean? I hadn't spent that kind of time with the brother where he even, because if he would have said that to me, then I would have had something to say about that.
I just said that to make Will mad, but go ahead.
But Rick Rubin, you know, of course, the history of Rick Rubin, he started Def Jam with Russell Simmons.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And Rick Rubin extended an invitation and opportunity to us after we had went, you know, I think Gold on which album was that?
Grip It on the Other Level.
Man, we went Gold, bro. And kids.
And Rick Rubin had something that like really got my attention that I wanted to be a part of, and that was the Geffen machine at the time, David Geffen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you remember that David Geffen machine at the time was was a powerful machine.
Was it Guns N' Roses?
They had Slayer, some of everything.
Slayer, yeah.
That was Rick Rubin had Slayer.
Okay.
But, you know, I felt like if we could have that machine behind us, it would really take us to a whole different planet. And, of course, we know how that story ended. David Geffen discriminated on the Ghetto Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's cool.
Can you believe those hypocrites would discredit Guns N' Roses and they're not our shit?
Yeah.
They say we a racist act. Ain't that the pot calling the kettle black?
Man, you know it's been rumored that you are the unseen hand.
Wow.
Yeah, they have labeled you a very dangerous man.
Well, I wonder why would they do that? You know, I'm everybody see me.
Everybody see me.
Yeah. You know how they do it at the crap table, you know. Yeah, but you know how that is, man. The rumors, they existed back then, they existed now, they're gonna exist tomorrow.
I can tell you it's all lies.
I think I'm more seen now than I ever been.
Man, you know what? Funny thing, man. I'm like, social media, old man not going to never get on social media. Then, bam.
Yeah. Well, I call myself adjusting to time. You know what I mean?
And I have to learn to do that, too. Yeah, adjust to
time. We can't never be one-dimensional and stuck
in at a standstill.
The dinosaur age. I never allow that to happen to myself.
Yeah.
And when I came out with my book, you know, I knew it was time for me to promote my book and ignite.
Let people see you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just that time of the day.
Hey, man, you know, people need to pick that book up, too, because it's a lot of jewels. It's a book full of jewels, man. And everything that you did, like, growing up, bro, and, like, wow.
The heart and science of respect.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jay, what you think about people having something to say about you injecting yourself into hip-hop beefs and, you know, trying to, I guess, bring some type of order?
I would have to repeat that verse. I started this gangster shit.
Right.
It's the respect I get.
Right. Ice Cube. I love that.
You know what I mean? Ice Cube.
That's Dre.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, oh, Dre rapped it.
I thought that, okay, I thought that was Ice Cube.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, so, oh, you know, it's kind of hard boom, for
boom,
them to,
boom, boom.
For them to say something stronger than that.
Damn, I thought that was cute.
Man. Hey, man.
I think Eminem may have wrote that for.
I don't know who wrote it for him, but I know he said, I started this gangster shit. And it's the motherfucking thanks I get.
Damn.
Yeah, Dr. Okay. Dre. He's bad. That's a bad producer. It's a bad man. But, man, just we give all that success, man, that came, you know, in our careers. Well, in my career, I give all that shit to you, bro, because you gave me some game that is fucking unmatched. I always tell people that. I say, man, James was raised by wolves, and I was raised by the wolf. So what you think that make me? You know what I mean?
I'm kidding.
No, I'm the wolf. It'd take a Willie D to say some shit like that about me.
Yeah, you know, Will always been a comedian.
Always been a goddamn comedian. I remember one time, man, Willie and Bill was fighting in the limousine.
Oh, man, hit his man. Go.
I'm just, I,
come on,
listen,
man.
Listen, man, I'm not going to get into detail, man, but when Bill said trench coats and gangster pussies, Willie went ape shit. In the limo.
Yeah, I wasn't in that car.
No, you weren't there that time, but man, can you, you know, every time they got into some shit, I just sit back and watch the show, right?
Yeah.
And then Will got more mature. And he started ignoring Bill.
Yeah.
I had always ignored Bill.
Hey, let's talk about this drink, loyalty. You know, how did you come to,
no,
to
man,
get involved
we gotta finish
with,
talking about Bill and Will,
with,
man.
With the alcohol industry. For a person who is not known to be a drinker.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the first time I think I probably ever saw you drink any type of alcohol was no, it wasn't my party. We were at a party at Fox Sports Grill.
Yeah.
I bought you a bottle, and I was like, yeah, you know, and you was like, I bought you a bottle of wine.
Right.
That's the first time I ever saw you drink. But
yeah.
Very impressive, man, you know, to see you get into this and, really? And to see you diversify.
Yeah.
You know, you went from the music to boxing.
Yeah.
Boxing.
And now you are in the beverage business.
Yeah, I'm really trying to diversify my portfolio. And as you said, I was a late bloomer when it came to drinking because I always wanted to stay focused. I never wanted nothing to interfere with my focus, you know, in my 20s and my 30s.
That's heavy.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to allow that. So I would have a glass of orange juice straight, making everybody think I had gin and juice, watching everything. You know what I mean? So that was important to me to keep that focus. But as you can see now, you know, my choice of drink is red wine because it's a health drink. You know what I mean? It got antioxidants and all the good stuff in it, as long as you drink it with moderation.
Don't you got an uncle? Wasn't Uncle Don in wine country?
Yeah.
Were you drinking wine up there back then?
I have had a glass or two up there with
That's the real step on the grapes with your foot.
Napa
wine
Valley
up there toward
Napa Valley.
Yeah. In the hills. That's pretty dope. Yeah.
But it's been fun. You know, it's a real lucrative business. And
wow.
Actually, I underestimated loyalty. You know, I press. I'm thinking about CDs, right? Anyway, yeah, like a half a million bottles, and I underestimated, not a half a million bottles, a half a million dollars worth of material, and I underestimated it.
Really?
And one distributor bought everything, and I'm chasing it right now, trying to catch up with the sales. Yeah.
Golly.
So
that's a good problem to have.
That's a very good problem to have. Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
And then your fight game is on point. Everybody winning, and you got brand new fight squad right here. You want to introduce them?
Mason Brothers.
Yeah, Mason Brothers.
The Mason Five, you know.
The Mason Five.
They are from Cleveland, Ohio.
That's where we got our start, bro.
And,
that's where
they're
we
just
got
down
start.
Here visiting. You know what I mean? They're down here visiting. We just chopping it up. You know what I mean? I had an opportunity to observe Abdullah in Shreveport at the tournament. You know, he went the national tournament, amateur tournament in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he cleaned the slate. And I was watching him. I watched his first fight. You know, this is like all the best fighters in Houston. I mean, in the United States, that come together to compete. And he was 16 years old at the time.
Which one is this?
That's Abdullah.
Okay.
And, you know, I watched him, like, not only just, like, edge and barely beat these 20-some-year-old men and different people, but, like, he stopped a couple of them. They stopped the fight. And he done this three times. You know, I watched one time. I said, was that luck? Then I came back a couple of days later and the same thing. And then the grand finale was this guy, I think, won like 11 nationals. You know, a Latino brother, bad boy. And he done the same thing.
Stopped.
Dropped him the first round.
Ooh.
And, you know, that was amazing. You know what I mean? That was amazing because 16-year-old's not supposed to be able to
beat up a grown ass man. Go ahead,
you know, deliver like that, right? So you know what I mean. That was somebody I had to meet. You know what I mean. And him, his father, and all his brothers have came down, and we've been like, you know, chopping it up, man. Because someday I hope and pray that I can be in business with him.
Mm.
Yeah,
love it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
I love it.
Hey, talk to me about, or talk to us about. The press that the feds try to put on you, not going all the way back, but I'm talking about as far as like, I don't want you to go into details and all that. What I want you to impart on the audience is for all of these young aspiring, black business people out there and even other people out there who is certain people in the government. When we say government, we think of this big old entity, right? But the government is made of individuals, human beings with certain biases and convictions and stuff, right? So these people may have their own thing. A person might wake up and see, I don't like that guy. Yeah. So he might target you and decide, I want to target him.
Yeah.
You know, how do those people that are in business, are trying to make it in business, make sure that they can survive an attack, an unwarranted attack, against them by particular individuals that work within the government.
Yeah. that ain't gonna really be a short answer, but I'm gonna do my best. The attack on me begun years ago, and it exists even to this day.
Wow.
And if you really think about it, because it was an attack on us,
right.
You know what I mean? I kind of brought y'all into that attack.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all stood up right there beside me, and, you know, we went to war together. But it's so deep, you know what I mean? It's so deep. And I got a philosophy on in a lot of different areas on why this happened. You know what I mean? I truly believe that they were trying to stop the movement of what's taking place today. They saw this coming to fruition. You know, everything that we were doing, you know, from ground zero, they recognize our mindsets.
Hmm.
They recognize our actions. And then as we start evolving, you know what I mean? As we start growing and evolving and becoming successful, they double down with the pressure. One of the things that's important to do when you are under attack by feds or any police force, anything, period, is to not be afraid to put the spotlight on it. And that's something we've done through our music over and over again. You know what I mean? We wanted to be the voice for ghettos all over the world. So
they
we
did.
Came together and, you know, in that room like this, we was like-minded in that attack to be a voice for everybody and put the spotlight on all the wrongdoing and all the crookedness that they were doing, that they were conspiring to do, you know, whatever the case was. We didn't allow fear, you know what I mean, to keep us in bondage where they can totally destroy us. And it's that word fear that that anybody, owner of a business or whatever, is concerned. It's that word fear that you can't allow to paralyze you. You know what I mean? Because fear is not even of God.
Right.
And if you allow it to paralyze you, then you defeat it. We never allowed that. We can't start allowing it today, yesterday, or today. So, you know, put the spotlight on whatever it may be.
See, man, fear is not even of God.
Dude. Yeah, a jewel. You can have the A. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have that.
Yeah.
He gave you another good one. He gave you a good one.
Fear is not even of God. Man, so all you people out there, I ain't picking on nobody now, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it.
Here we go.
All you people out there who believe in God, but, you know, you got this fear of certain people. You know, you got fear of even yourself and your capabilities. That's not of God. So you already off track. If you really, really believe in God like you say you do, you should fear no man, no woman. You should fear nothing if you really believe in God.
He the only one to fear.
He's the only one to fear.
You know what I mean? That's it. You know, and that's the thing. You know, if you think about it, a lot of us never give ourselves a chance because of that word fear, man. It's a paralyzing word that stops so many of us from, you know, becoming who we were called to be, meant to be, or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Just imagine if we would have been stuck on fear. Imagine if
it would have never happened.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, the conversation with Larry Hoover. You know what I mean? I remember all the threats. I remember if you do this, this going to happen.
Who said
this and that? The different police departments out of Chicago.
For real?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting calls. You know what I mean? A lot of the things and subject matters we spoke on was against, you know, the rules where y'all saw how mad they were. You know what I mean?
Shit, they came to my house.
You know what I mean? So we never allowed that word to paralyze us. You know, even though it was uncomfortable, you know what I mean? It was uncomfortable, but, you know, like I was willing to die for some of those things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, okay, it is what it is. I'm going to stand on this to this capacity where I'm willing to lay it all out for this one. Mm-hmm. So it was that mind frame of strength, you know what I mean, of not allowing fear to paralyze us in our movement, man, that I think has made it for so many that's unaware of it, where hip hop is concerned.
Let's go back to that fearing God, that comment. So God is this spiritual thing, that being that that's supposed to be on our side, right? Why should we fear somebody that's on our side? See, and I'm asking this question because, you know, I personally don't fear God. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I don't know if I'm doing, maybe I'm doing something wrong. I don't know. But I don't fear God. I don't feel like a man on the planet, because I feel like anything somebody can do to me, I can do to them. So that's why I don't fear anybody. Like, I really just don't fear people, period. I don't fear people. I'm not about to fear some guy in the sky or wherever he may be. And I know that is very, very unpopular, and I'm sure I'm going to get some calls on this one. But I just got to put it out there, fam. I just don't believe, and I do believe in God, but I don't fear God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's, you know, you can say six and a half a dozen, and you can be talking about the same thing. Yeah, it's a matter of reverence, in which I think you have where the Creator is concerned. And I think it's easy to, like, get spirituality and religious, like, mixed up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And a lot of people don't know how to differentiate the two. But I know you, with your thinking ability and with the capacity that you, the reverence you have for God, not saying anything disrespectful concerning him, but I understand, you know, where you're coming from. Others may not, but it's a reverence that you have, and that's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The important part is acknowledging that the Creator is all-powerful. I mean, all-power. He not a man. You know what I mean? He not somebody that, you know what I mean? So I respect that, you know, and I humble myself where he is concerned. And, you know, I think y'all feel the same way.
And on with that,
yeah.
And with that,
yeah,
fam, we conclude the first episode of Ghetto Boys Reloaded with the great Jay Prince.
Bad man.
Brad Scarface Jordan, and I am Willie D. Thank you for tuning in, fam. Until next time.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out.
Beautiful.
This episode was produced by A-King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.